Welcome everyone to WCCF Tech's first gaming podcast. I'm your host Keith with the US hardware team, and we have the rest of our team here kicking things off with Alessio.
Hi guys, I'm the gaming chief for WCCF Tech. You probably read my articles, and today you will get to know me, you know, by voice at last.
Yes, and I'm Dave. I am one of the many game reviewers here at WCCF Tech, focusing on Nintendo and Japanese stuff. And this is going to be a fun session.
And I'm Chris. I review, I write different articles, I say a lot of opinions that people don't like, but I'm the gaming side as well.
All right, guys, we've got some really good topics here today that we're going to kick things off. Alessio is going to introduce our first major talking point, and we're going to go into some details on that. So what do you got for us, Alessio?
Well, a few days ago, Thursday, we've had the Inside Xbox episode, which showcased very brief glimpses of gameplay for a number of games for the upcoming Xbox Series X console. And although many of those games were really multi-platform games anyway. And, of course, the biggest game by far of all the showcase was Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And, you know, I think although we didn't see really a lot of gameplay in that trailer, I think, you know, the setting is very, very interesting because Ubisoft said they want to be making the ultimate grounded Viking fantasy, which isn't something we have seen a lot in games. And hopefully they can continue improving on the level of quality. You know, from Origins to Odyssey, there was already an improvement, in my opinion. Hopefully they can, you know, improve the storytelling part in particular even further. And I think it could be great, really great game. You know, other than that, I kind of noticed the Ascent, which is a nice scene in the game, the top-down action RPG. And I think those were the two standout games for me.
Okay. The last one you mentioned, what was that one?
The Ascent. Yeah,
that one, I don't know, I can't remember the name of it, but that was the one that I saw, and I was like, okay, this one, I'm down for that. I like the way this one looks. The graphics were really good, and we got to see actual gameplay of that one.
So
that looked really fun. The other game that really got my attention was the game The Medium. You too? That one, I saw it, and I was sold. In fact, I was really glad to see that it was on Steam, so I put it on my wish list over on Steam. So that's my biggest one. I do have a gripe, but I'll come back to my gripe with something else. What about the rest of you guys? What did you guys see that really set it out for you?
So for me, The Medium as well, instantly. I wasn't even watching the screen when The Medium was shown, but the music, instantly I'm thinking, wait, is this a new Silent Hill game? And again, the fact that they've got Yamaoka as a composer there, the theme was just so Silent Hill. Bloober Team as well, Blair Witch, they've had other games, which they really are, they're a really good horror studio, probably the best in the world at the moment. And other than that, Dirt looks really good as well.
Yeah, you do a lot of the racing games, don't you?
Yes, very badly.
What about you, Dave?
Skill doesn't matter. I actually passed this over at first and I completely ignored it. But now I wanna say that Scarlet Nexus could be okay. This is the one This is the one that looks a lot like the recent Code Vein, has that anime style, and it looks like they're going for like a character action platinum style game mixed with like a Dark Souls style game. And I have no idea how it's gonna turn out, but I've always been a really big fan of the Tales JRPG series, and I've heard some of the staff from that series are working on this. So, okay. It could be all right.
Yeah, Well, I thought the exact same thing. It looked just like Code Vein. I thought, is this like a Code Vein prequel?
Honestly, like the God Eater team. I don't know what the name of the actual studio is, but they've done God Eater and Code Vein, and all their games look very, very similar.
Yeah.
Oh, it could be really good. Could be.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say something about the Medium, Kate, if you...
Go for it.
Moment. Because it's one of the few games in the showcase which are actually, you know, going to be limited to next gen, that is the Xbox Series X and PC. So it's not coming to Xbox One. And interestingly, as you can read on the website in a post published today, actually, there is a specific mechanic that, according to the developers at Bloober, would not be possible on, you know, current generation consoles. So that's an interesting one, which is one of the first, you know, glimpses of what next generation hardware can do for developers. And I think they haven't actually gone into details, but I think it has to do with the fact with the Medium, you know, the protagonist, she can like change world from the spirit world to the real world, you know, in a blink. And that's supposedly where the next generation hardware helps them, you know, making it seamless.
So like the new NVMe drives make that possible, where it can reload the assets.
This something like that. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be honest, that really surprised me, because I did not expect out of these first wave of game titles to be announced for there even to be one that was going to be limited like that. That's pretty, I think it's impressive, because I was worried that we were going to see the first wave of games come through and they were very much those cross-generational things. So
very much like it was at the start of this generation.
Yeah, you were going to get new games and you were going to get the enhanced version of it, but I didn't expect this soon to already see some where it's like you're sitting on a 1X or a 1S, sorry, you're out. I'm okay with that, quite honestly, because that allows them, like you said, Alessio, they're able to flip assets like that, and you couldn't do that on a slow-spinning mechanical drive.
Yeah, and actually, one of the really interesting questions that we don't know the answer for yet is, you know, with both PS5 and Xbox Series X having the built-in SSDs, does that mean that the PC release of, for example, the Medium will require SSDs as well? That's the big question, I think.
That's a good question. That's a really good question. Was there anything from this showcase? I've got one, but was there anything from this showcase that you guys felt like was left out? Like you were expecting to see it and you didn't?
Halo.
Gameplay.
Halo gameplay.
Just gameplay.
Alessio, do you? Was there something, anything you were missing or you felt like was missing?
No, actually, I mean, if you followed this kind of events before, you know, in like May, when it's still a ways off, you know, with the console release, it's usually the same. I mean, very, very brief glimpses of gameplay, and you know, we'll get the bigger gameplay footage, you know, in the next couple months. So I'm not worried.
Yeah, the one game that was missing for me that I expected to see, even if it wasn't gameplay, just a little bit more details, was Senua Saga. You know, Hellblade 2.
Yeah, Hellblade 2.
Yeah, I think that one is a bit. Bit farther away, so it's not
you think so easy. That's sad. That's sad. I was actually I didn't finish Hellblade, the first Hellblade, until after I saw the trailer, and I was like, okay, I gotta finish it, and I went back and had to like completely sit down and not stop until I finished it. I absolutely loved that game, so I was really looking forward to seeing some more details on the sequel, but unfortunately we'll have to wait on that. But yeah, I think we all agree.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think we all agree that was, outside of the lack of gameplay footage for Chris, it was a pretty good showing from the Microsoft team.
It was a good show. It was just that they advertised it as a gameplay footage showing event. It's like, yeah. Other than that, the games look good. I've got no issues.
Yeah, everything there looked perfectly good. I think it's the one thing that kind of was weird for me is that like this is obviously being budgeted as like the highest spec console game machine. and all the games that were displayed are kind of on the indie side. I expect them to look good, but it's not going to be AAA experiences. Or at least that's not what we've seen from
with
this
the exception case. Of such as Dirt. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm sure they're all to come. Just as a first glimpse, it's a little bit tepid.
Not bad. Can see that. Well, so far we've been talking about Microsoft and what they're doing for next generation, but what about Sony? Chris, do you want to touch on Sony for us? Give us some updates.
That's where you go, where you're saying the Microsoft have shown something where Sony are quiet, deathly quiet. We've all got ideas of why. Well, there's not much to say in the fact that Sony have just been quiet. It could simply be, my opinion is that they essentially won the last generation by waiting for Microsoft to make their missteps. Now, I wonder if they're doing the same thing. I don't know what everybody else thinks.
Alessio, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, you know, I think Sony is, they are in a strong position. Of course, they basically won the current generation in terms of sales, in terms of mindshare and everything. At the same time, I think, maybe they are still leaning a lot on the two PlayStation 4 exclusives, which are coming in the next couple of months, The Last of Us Part 2 and Ghost of Tsushima. So they are still focused on that, perhaps. But, we've got rumors that the PS5 console reveal, you know, with the design as well, because we still don't know how it will look. It should come in the next 30 days or so, like mid-June. So it's not far off. And one thing I want to make it clear, though, it's that I really hope Sony adopts the same cross-buy policy that Microsoft is adopting with the Xbox Series X delivery, smart delivery, which is basically you buy the game for Xbox One and you don't have to buy it again on the Xbox Series X. And, Cyberpunk has signed on this and, you know, many other games that were showcased Thursday also did the same. And we still don't know anything about a similar plan for the PS5. And it will be really great for customers if they could do something like that, I think.
That is interesting. Dave, your thoughts on PS5?
So a quick question before I start ranting. do we know if PS5 has proper RTX yet?
You mean DXR? Or, no, actually, it won't have DXR, because DXR is going to be your Microsoft with DirectX ray tracing.
DirectX, yeah.
Okay. What Sony would probably have to utilize is going to be a Vulkan path on it.
Okay,
so the Vulkan level, because RTX, you got to remember, RTX is NVIDIA's branding for their whole suite.
I just meant general ray tracing.
No, I understand. I understand.
I'm just using RTX for fucking ray tracing because I'm too used to it.
I swore,
timestamp it.
I'll beep it out. But that speaks to NVIDIA's excellent marketing on that.
It does.
You know, because you're not a big PC gamer, right? You're there, but I mean,
I have an NVIDIA card, but
but you were referring to ray tracing and just got it RTX.
Exactly. So. Yeah.
But, so that, you know, to be fair, NVIDIA was by far the first in this field, you know.
Yeah,
they've been doing it since August 2018.
Oh yeah, they're
so
they got their name in there quick on it. But as far as back to the question, it's going to have to be their own version. Not necessarily their own version. It's just it will not be the same ray tracing.
They did say they will have hardware support for ray tracing. At the same time, what they did not say, since you've gone there, Dave, is whether they will have variable ray shading, for example, VRS, which is something that is part of DirectX 12 Ultimate spec.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's in the Xbox Series X console, but Sony did not confirm anything like that. So
I think these are the details we'll find out when the PlayStation 5 is revealed. Obviously, the issue is that the Xbox always has the advantage of, with DirectX being Microsoft, Xbox is always going to have the Microsoft tech inside it. Sony's going to have their own versions. Best way of saying it.
They just got to have AMD on their side and working with them on that. Like, so yeah, when it comes to the PS5, and I've stressed these points before, but I'll just reiterate, is that they don't want to be in the position Microsoft was at the beginning of this generation, where they're trying to do this little power race. Because ultimately, there wasn't much separating the original PS4 and Xbox One. However, that tiny difference that was there spun the marketing, spun like the gamer narrative online. And that was what put Sony in the forefront in the last generation, at least initially. And Microsoft has reclaimed a lot of that with having the world's most powerful console in the Xbox One X. But when it comes to people transitioning over to a totally new generation, you really don't want to have people second-guessing their purchase on your system. No. Especially if Microsoft is going to be offering things like backwards compatibility, like smart delivery, as we've mentioned. And all of these small aspects really add up to things that Sony need answers for. And it's strange because they're the only ones that have been quiet on it. And then when you couple that with the rumors that we've heard of, like, Sony being taken aback by how powerful the Series X actually is, it doesn't paint a pretty picture, and they've got to make up with it in price difference at the end of it, if nothing else.
The other issue Sony's got is that they're losing exclusives, and exclusives are by and far system sellers. That is one of the system seller things that sold the PS4. They actually had good exclusives where...
Going off of that, because that's a very good point I was just thinking of a minute ago, is that right now for Microsoft, you can actually see their roadmap in front of them. They have a big lineup of games on the way, like from all their studios that they've been acquiring and the games they've been developing over time. If you look at Sony right now, it feels like almost everyone a Sony studio just wrapped up on a big game. And who knows when the next one will be. Like, I see nothing on the horizon for Sony. Obviously, we've got The Last of Us 2 coming and Ghost of Tsushima, but beyond that, it's a completely blank slate, and that's kind of scary.
Do you think they might be like keeping those cards under the mat, so to say? Do you think it's
I want to believe that, but at the same time, when you look at all the studios, it's like you look at Guerrilla Games, they put out two games in the last generation. Now, Horizon's been like 3 years ago now, so I'm sure they're working on like Zero Dawn 2 or whatever. And I'm sure they'll have that ready in another year or two. It'll probably be a PS5 big game. However, other than that, what studios do Sony have that haven't just put out a big game, or they have one just coming out? Like, obviously, who knows when Kojima Productions will be putting out another one? Knows when Media Molecule will be putting out another one? I honestly sucker punch, they're busy. Naughty Dog is going to take them like 4 years between games, as we've seen in the past. What is the immediate answer? Microsoft have answers. Sony right now don't. And this feels so weird coming from someone that has
PS4. We may find out about them in a month. We might.
They might have Sony a raft of
10 amazing games. They'll surprise us all.
Knack free. That's where we're going to go with this. We're going to go for
number one game, that.
Oh, gosh.
What I'm scared of.
No, actually, it's a good point, Dave, because as you've said, many of their studios have been working until lately on some projects. At the same time, I think Horizon Zero Dawn 2 will be the first PlayStation 5 big game, possibly. I think they could ship it in early 2021, because the game came out in late February 2017. So I think 4 years, it could be doable. And other than that, perhaps Polyphony, because GT Sport also launched a few years ago. Maybe it can launch next year. A new Gran Turismo game. It's a possibility.
True. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've got Microsoft showing off a bunch of stuff, including a road plan and ideas of their studios. They're putting their game foot forward. Sony is being really reserved for the future, but right now Nintendo is actually kind of the breadwinner of the group, is it not, Dave? Yeah. Isn't it?
If we're looking at the recent financial results that just came out, Nintendo are sailing high on Animal Crossing. They're sailing high on Switch hardware. Like, Animal Crossing was one of the best video game launches in the United States ever, especially for Nintendo. The Switch is just destroying like former Nintendo sales records. Their earnings results are massive. Obviously, we don't expect that to be riding high forever because Animal Crossing can't sell 11 million units every month. But they are doing incredibly well right now. A bit like Sony, though, I do wonder what's going to happen from here on out. They have said that there are going to be new Switch games this year, which I should hope so. I should hope so.
It's only
Imagine
May.
If they said there wasn't. That would have been weird. And we know that I know we're going to get Xenoblade this month. We're going to get Mario remasters, which are heavily rumored. And I'm pretty sure they're real. They're going to be coming at some point. Other than that, no idea. A bit unlike Sony, Nintendo do have a lot of studios they collaborate with. And I'm sure we could get a game from like Koei Tecmo, exclusive to the Switch. We could get a game from any number of studios. We're going to have Bravely Default 2 in time, etc., etc. So there will be games. But for at least this year, I don't see a big Nintendo exclusive on the tier of like Mario or Zelda. I don't see that happening this year. So I do wonder what's going to happen. But Nintendo are doing well.
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, of course, they sold a lot of units. At the same time, like you said, the forecast for next year is a bit lower, perhaps. So perhaps they already know, you know, what the schedule looks like. But I wonder, do you think we could have, you know, Breath of the Wild sequel, like by the first half of 2021?
Maybe not first half, but I wouldn't be surprised with like fall. Fall 2021, because well, that is exactly when I expect a Switch Pro to launch. Yeah, I do. Because if you look at like I'm basing this entirely on Nintendo's hardware sales history, and if you look back, Nintendo have always released a hardware revision every 2 years. It's either a revision or a new system, and that has gone back to like the Nintendo DS in like 2004 or something now.
See, I personally think that, yeah, well, they're probably expecting to launch that. One of the things that's driven hardware sales, it's driven game sales, not only Animal Crossing, but Final Fantasy VII remake. I can't remember the game that came out before that. But yeah, oh, Doom. I reviewed that as well. Yeah, but Doom, Final Fantasy VII, Animal Crossing, game sales have been skyrocketing. It doesn't matter what game, and that's because of the coronavirus. Switch
pandemic.
Sales. You're allowed to say it now.
No, we're not.
But so the hardware sales have been everywhere selling out because people who are stuck at home want something to play with. And the Nintendo has always been the console for kids. Even back then when the PlayStation was just starting, games console was always called the Nintendo. That wasn't when I was growing up.
Well, of course, but if we're going to say that Doom Eternal has also been selling really well, we can't just say it's because Nintendo are selling to all the kiddies. Because obviously, gaming spend as a whole is going up.
Yes, gaming spend as a whole,
If we did look at Nintendo's financials in detail, I won't go over it all because that's insane, but they did specify that Animal Crossing is selling through especially well to people in their 20s and 30s and selling Switch hardware. So it's new Switch adopters.
Well,
so that's very good.
Well, I was going to say, if it's selling consoles, so it's selling new Switches, even if they're picking up Animal Crossing now, and there's not a whole lot coming out down the road, the Switch has been on the market for, what, 2 years now?
Absolutely.
3 years. Okay, so it's built up quite a large library. Mm-hmm. And the people who are buying them, and you guys know this, people who generally buy Nintendo consoles are going to buy the Nintendo games.
Yeah.
And I think we've even mentioned it in the past. They're still selling those full price. So Nintendo's got a huge, huge opportunity to maybe not sell new consoles, but they've got an opportunity when somebody gets really bored with doing chores, after a while in Animal Crossing and they actually want to play a game, they may buy Breath of the Wild and then walk around
for
a while.
And the thing is, we do sort of mock Nintendo for selling their games at full price for so long, but when you get a Nintendo system, there is at least one Nintendo first-party title that you consider essential. And for a lot of people, that has been Animal Crossing. But of course, if you look at the sales figures for software, Mario Kart 8 is at the top. It's not Mario Odyssey. It's not Breath of the Wild. It's Mario Kart 8.
Really?
Because it's a game.
Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu for me.
It's outsold everything else by like 6 million units.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's games like that will drive Nintendo forward. As much as gamers and fans like me are clamoring for a new Mario, a new Zelda, etc., etc., in reality, the moneymaker is Mario Kart, not Mario platformer, absurdly.
Interesting.
I'll just want to finish off on the Switch Pro talk. I said that they have the hardware cycle every 2 years, which means this Pro should be coming. But also in Nintendo's financial report, they said that they see the Switch as just approaching the midpoint in its life cycle. Mm. Which it's approaching 4 years on the market, which makes sense to me. And with the new consoles coming out this year, I think if they don't release a Switch Pro within a year of those new consoles being released, we will start seeing the Switch lose some of those not amazing, but impressive Switch ports. And just the narrative around how the Switch cannot run these new games will damage Nintendo slightly. So they'll be smart to release a console which can at least run something a little bit better. Yeah. I don't expect a Pro to be a massive generational leap or anything, but...
Well, you know, as I discussed previously with Kit, I think it actually could be, because if it can incorporate NVIDIA's DLSS 2.0, then that could be a big, really big boost. Because as we've seen, Kit, it can run games like at 1080p, but they are actually rendered much lower, right? And it doesn't even show.
No, you're right, because it can take a lot of games and they run them at 720p and then upscale it to where it looks good enough to fool you into thinking it's a native 1080p image. Now that I've got you guys here, and you guys are way more in tune with the console world than I am, I made an argument not too long ago to my brother, who absolutely loves his Switch. Like, I think he has an affair with it. His wife's got problems with it. You know, he loves his Switch. But I made the argument that, hey, do you think there would be a market for someone like me that doesn't really care for the handheld aspect, but would buy like a set-top box version that came with like the Switch Pro controller? And he's like, no, the only appeal of the Switch is that it's portable. And I said, the whole time I had his, he let me borrow it for a while, it stayed in the dock and I used the controller. I never liked playing it in the portable mode. Do you think there'd be a market for that? That may be...
I would say definitely yes, because I've got a friend now who's, ever since the start of the situation, we'll call it, he's been trying to find a Switch, and he doesn't want a Switch Lite because that's handheld. He wants one that will sit in front of the TV, connect to the TV docked, and he can play with the controller. And that's, again, I'm going to... No offense, Dave, but that's just mainly for his six-year-old child, but...
No, I feel like maybe there's a market. It's a lower cost unit. They released the Wii, that one Wii that was like, it's a trash version. I would never recommend people to buy that one. But you know, the one that didn't connect to the internet, it didn't have all these features, but it was just for those that just wanted to play the game and they didn't want all the extras.
Switch.
Yeah.
You know, there are still a lot of people that are not much into the handheld gaming thing. I'm one of them, so it would be interesting for me, for example.
I think it's a super good idea and concept. I have this issue with the Switch Lite as well, so this goes both ways, but like some games purposely work better in one mode than the other.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Super Mario Party, try to play that on a Switch Lite screen and prop it up with four people. You can, but you shouldn't. And there are certain games on Switch, like Brain Training, that it's meant to be held in portrait mode, essentially. Yeah. So, again, doing that on the TV, no touchscreen functionality, it would certainly lose something. None of these are deal breakers, though. I think a docked-only Switch sold for the right price could be really, really, really good. It would absolutely have to be the right price. I think it would need to be probably just under a Switch Lite, although we should probably keep in mind that the Pro Controller is like sold fairly expensively. But yeah, having said all that, it gives me visions of PS Vita TV.
Ooh. What, the Vita is... Oh, come on. I like
the Vita.
I didn't say anything else. I just said, remember that exists?
Yeah.
And everyone's like,
I felt bad for it. I felt bad for that console because it was so nice.
Vita was a good console.
It was
badly managed.
The main difference from the PS Vita TV is that the Nintendo Switch would actually have games, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
What's a game?
And also the fact that you can just stick an SD card in instead of a proprietary memory card. Because that ruined the Vita for me.
Yeah,
I had a lot of digital games, and I couldn't play more than one or two at a time.
Well, guys, I think we hit on all the big three pretty hard, and some good things, some uncertain things, and some even better things. Does anybody have any closing statements to throw out to the audience, get them coming back around, or just thank them for being here?
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this first and very experimental podcast from WCCF Tech. Hopefully, we can... work with you and even take your questions in the future, answer them here. So hopefully you can keep following us.
Stay at home, form a renters union. Don't pay your rent this month. COVID's getting us all down. Stay strong. Peace out.
I told you, Dave, it's called The Situation. And also for everybody listening, if there are any issues, it's Dave's fault. All Dave's fault.
All right, I want to thank everybody for coming out and listening and joining in. If you have any questions or suggestions, leave them down in the comment section below. We are up for all of those, and we hope to see you in the next one and maybe eventually be doing this live.